You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Good morning, everybody. So good to see all of you. How many of you were going to come to the first service today and said, forget it? All right, because of daylight savings time. And then also in a week and a half, a week from this Thursday, our friend Jody Romero will be coming up from Restoration LA. In the last couple of weeks, I've talked about New Covenant Ministries International. It's the team that Terry and I are on, and we minister around the world. Jody is also on the NCMI team. He's going to be coming up here to do something very special, one night only on March 22nd. He's going to be coming up, Lord willing, to ordain three brand new elders, Matt Frost, Matt Schott, and Joey Moore, along with their wives, putting them in on the eldership team. We're very excited about that, about what God is doing. And so here's what we do. When anybody goes on leadership here, whether a deacon or elder, we put it out to the congregation, and we say this: if there's any biblical reason why these should not be in this set in this office, you need to come and let me know. Me personally, I'm the team leader, so come and talk to me. Now, it's not because you don't like the way Margo makes mac and cheese, but a biblical reason as to why they shouldn't be there. So, Lord willing, a week from Thursday night, it's going to be a great evening of celebration, and Jody will conduct the service, and it'll be a good evening. So we're putting that out there to all of those of you that want to be there. All right? Now it's my privilege to have my wonderful best friend, and congratulations to her. 42 years ago today, she became a mother. It's our son's birthday today, and he's preaching, or he's probably done preaching in Texas now, and Terry's going to share a word with us. She shared this word in Australia at the Equip, and I felt it was significant, and that we as a church should hear it as well, and it fits exactly in with our series in Philippians, out of Philippians 1:6. So Terry's a good encourager and an exhorter, and a woman who's passionate about Jesus and her relationship with him. So, Father, I pray that you'd anoint Terry as she speaks to us this morning. I pray that you'd anoint us to hear as if from you today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. It's a privilege to be here and to be able to share with you what God has on my heart this morning. It is my son's birthday, and he's 42 years old. I had him when I was 20, so you could do the math. But it's a wonderful thing when we can raise our kids, and then we become best friends with them. And I love all my children, and that's a TV show, isn't it? I love all my children, and they all live in Texas, so it's always wonderful to be there. Caleb and Stasia, great to have you. Caleb and Stasia had Emery, is that correct? A couple months ago, and so we have a new Westsider here. Let's welcome her. All right, good to see you guys. Hope you're getting some sleep. I like to do jigsaw puzzles. I'm an achievement-oriented person and goal-driven, and I like to put together all these pieces and accomplish something and see this big picture. And recently, and I don't really have time to do that, but once in a while, you know, your brain is fried and you can't think anymore, and so you just want to do something mindless. So recently I was working on a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and I probably got about 900 pieces done. And there were 100 pieces left, and this was like the hardest puzzle I've ever done. There were 100 pieces left, and every single one of them was the same exact color, this light blue, because it was a map of the world, and it was all the ocean. And not one mark on them to, you know, help you put them anywhere. And so after some time of looking at these last 100 pieces, I grabbed the box and I tore it all up. I got it all, you know, torn apart, put it in the box. I took it to Texas, where my daughter is a super puzzle builder, so she'll get that in no time. But as I'm putting this whole puzzle back in the box, and Steve goes, "Who are you? I don't know this Terry." You finish everything you start. And that puzzle wasn't finished, but I was finished. And so, husbands, I have a word for you. Just when you think you have your wife all figured out, you got her categorized and put in a box, you see something different, right? She changes, or you see another layer, and it keeps life so delightful. And so come to our marriage class. But I'll tell you what, this morning you're not finished yet. And I'm not finished running this race, running this course that Jesus has called me to. I love the Lord. I want to represent him until the day that I see him. And I want to grow in him. I want to take steps of faith in him. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to represent him until I see him. But once in a while, I'll have this conversation with God. A few times I've said, "God, I'm 62 years old. Am I finished? Am I not relevant to people anymore? Do I not have anything to say? Am I finished? I don't want to be finished." And he says, "No, Terry, you're not finished until the day of Jesus." But then sometimes I'll say, "God, I'm 62 years old. Aren't I finished yet? I'm tired." And he says, "No, Terry, you're not finished, not until the day of Jesus Christ." And that's my message to you this morning, is you're not finished yet. When Steve and I were on our way to Australia, and we were going to speak at this conference, and I got this picture, and God just puts a word on my heart, and it's never way ahead of time where I can really plan and prepare and you know, be polished and smooth. It's always at the last minute. He drops this in my heart. So I'm like, okay, I gotta put this together. But he gave me this picture of a whole bunch of white hair, gray hair, no hair, army of saints that have just kind of stepped to the back. And all these young people and young families just powering forward, which is great. But then here we get to this conference, and sure enough, there's the white hair, gray hair, no hair. It was in a large auditorium, and toward the back and going up the bleachers, they had put themselves in the back, and the young people were in the front. And I just felt like God said, "You're not finished yet. I still have something for you." So I'm going to be talking about Caleb, but this thing of Philippians 1:6, Steve talked about it last week. Paul says, "For I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it or mature it or finish it until the day of Jesus Christ." And the day of Jesus Christ, the day, is when we die and we go to see Jesus for all of eternity. If we have received Jesus as our Savior, if we've acknowledged that our Creator, God, sent Jesus to earth to live a sinless life, to die on the cross in our place, to take our place, to pay our price for our sin, and then rose again 3 days later, and we believe on that, and we say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I want to receive you as my Savior. And I want to have you lead my life. I want you to be Lord of my life." Then, the day we take our last breath and we die and we go to be with him, the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And so the day is either we die or he comes back for us. And so until the day of Jesus Christ, we are not finished. The day of Jesus Christ came for Billy Graham. And he had lived his whole adult life speaking and preaching the gospel and preaching that Jesus loves you. God loves you. And today is the day to make your decision for him, that he came to reconcile you to God and have relationship with him. And so the day of Jesus Christ wasn't yet for Billy Graham all of his life. I love the pictures of Billy Graham preaching as a white-haired man and just passionately sharing what Jesus did for us. And then even after Billy Graham died in the Capitol Rotunda, lying in honor there for all the world to know, and his memorial service broadcast all over the world, he still wasn't finished yet. He was actually, his message was being preached even after he went home to be with Jesus. I want to count for Jesus until I see him. I want to continue on this race. We live for eternity. It's not all about what's in front of us. It's not all about this. Aren't you so glad that there's more? That there is eternity, that is our hope, and that is our future. So the Bible says, Philippians 1:6, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And Steve talked about this last week. He who began a good work, so when we receive him as our Savior, we are justified, we are saved, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will go to be with him. That's justification. That's our salvation. We are beginning this walk. And then he says, we'll bring it to completion. And that's our sanctification. And that's our walk with him, changing and becoming more like him, growing, taking steps of obedience, taking steps of faith, and becoming more and more like Jesus. That's our sanctification process. And then at the day of Jesus Christ, there's a glorification process when we're saved and we are with him. So this is a picture of us coming out of Egypt. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were set free from Egypt, from bondage, to go into the promised land. Not to just come out, not to just get saved and then sit there or wander in the desert, but to take everything that God, go into the promised land and take all of his promises, everything that he has for us. So let's go to the Old Testament. God delivered the nation of Israel, and there were a lot of miracles, and there was a lot of grumbling, and there were a lot more miracles. And then God gave them the commandments on Mount Sinai, and then they built the tabernacle according to God's prescribed pattern. And then they left Sinai, and they stood ready to enter the promised land. And this is the account in Numbers 13 and 14. So they're there, ready to go, but they decided first we're going to send 12 men in, 12 spies to spy out the land. And we know that this is good. We know that God's called us to this. We know that God brought us out of Egypt to take us into the promised land. But we're going to go check it out and strategize here. So 12 men went in. They came out. They knew that this was a good land. They came out, and Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. Let's go. But 10 men were full of unbelief and fear and disobedience, and they influenced the whole nation of Israel and really wrote their death sentence. And so let's look at Joshua, or at Numbers 14:7. The land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So the people did not listen to Caleb. They listened to the other 10, and their punishment for their lack of faith was to wander in that wilderness, in that desert for 40 years. And those that were 20 years of age and older would die out over this next 40 years, and only those under 20 years and Joshua and Caleb, the two men of faith, would eventually go into the promised land. So now it's time for Israel to enter the promised land. And Joshua divided the land among the tribes. So Caleb says this to Joshua in Joshua 14, beginning at verse 8. My brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said these 45 years since the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and for coming. So now give me this mountain, or give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Zephaniah, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So it was given to Caleb, but then he had to take the land. And so in Judges chapter 1, verse 20, it says, and Hebron was given to Caleb, as Moses had said, and he drove out from it the three sons of Anak, or the giants, and he took the land that God had given to him. And so my first point is Joshua and Caleb believed God. They believed God and they trusted him. Number two, Caleb looked with eyes of unwavering faith. Caleb sounds like a guy that's very tenacious and very driven, and he's achievement oriented. And he's like, I'm going to do this. God gave me this, and I'm going to take the land. But he did not do it, he didn't have faith in himself. He had an unwavering faith in God, and it was based on this track record of God in his life. He could look back and say, God has always been there. He's always been faithful. He's always been good. He brought us out of bondage. He brought us out of Egypt, and he's performed all these miracles, and I know that he's not going to let me down now. I know that he is with me, and I put my unwavering faith in him. Number three, Caleb was a disciple. He was a fully devoted follower of God. He was obedient. God called him to do something, and he obeyed. Those steps of obedience, walking in steps of obedience. Number four, Caleb did his part and knew God would do the rest. Now, remember in the New Testament, Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He was in a boat with the other disciples. And he looked out and he saw Jesus walking toward him. And he looked, he said, Jesus, is that you? If it's you, call me to come. And Jesus says, Peter, it's me. Come. And so Peter had to take action steps. And so he took his foot and he put it over the side of the boat. Took his other foot and he put it over the side of the boat. And Peter did what he was supposed to do. Peter did his part. And God held him up. And God wants us to use our spiritual muscles. We've been taken out of our sinful life. We've been taken out of Egypt. He wants us to use our spiritual muscle and take ground. Root out the giants. Root out the enemy by whatever he's calling us to do or to stop doing. The doors that he's opening for us to walk in steps of obedience. And Caleb drove out the giants and took the land that God gave him. Number five, Caleb didn't give up. He knew he wasn't finished. I gave up on my puzzle. I was finished with that. But that holds no eternal value, thank God. Caleb watched and he waited for every opportunity, every promised opportunity, and then he went for it. And he didn't give up. So I want to tell you, I want to talk to three different groups this morning. You're not finished. The first group is young people. Young people, you're not finished. So get started. Get started today. God has opportunities for you. He has doors open for you to walk through. He has steps of faith for you to take. Know and believe God. There are so many voices out there that are telling you what's true is not true and what's not true is true. You need to know who God is and believe God. He is truth. And what opportunities has he given you? Look at those opportunities and go forward. Is it fellow classmates that you can speak to, that you can be kind to, that you can represent Jesus to? Is it obeying your parents? What are the opportunities? And here's the thing. Don't be arrogant, young people. Be teachable. Don't despise the wisdom and experience and counsel of people that are older than you that will help you to not make the same mistakes they made. It's always better to learn from someone else's mistakes and not make it ourselves, right? So, but go for it. Go for it. What is God calling you to? And take that step of faith. The second group is for those who have blown it, who have sinned, and you've disqualified yourself from living for Jesus and doing anything. I'll tell you, you're not finished. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." It's time to admit it and quit it and move on. There are people that need to be set free, and by your example and by what God has taken you through, you can help bring them through that. He wants to work through you to bring freedom to others. He paid a big price to redeem you. Use that. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You're not disqualified. You're not disqualified. He wants to work in and through you. He's set you free to glorify him. The third group is those who feel they are too old. Who said you're too old? You know, our culture worships the 20-year-olds and the way they look and what they do and what they think. And sometimes there's this attitude of, I'm going to retire, I'm going to live on my kids' inheritance, and I'm going to have fun. And I'm quitting, I'm not taking any more responsibility, I'm not doing anything. But you know what, that is a cultural thing. That's American culture that tells us that. It's not in the Bible, and it's not kingdom. We're not finished until the day of Jesus Christ, remember? Now, retirement is a good thing from employment, and we can look forward to that. And, you know, I don't have to go to that job anymore. But all it means is you get more time. You have more time and energy to be used of God and to represent him and to live for him and to help others in that. So we're here for eternal purposes. It's not the temporal. It's not just what we see and building up retirement and all that stuff. It's for eternity. We want to take as many people with us as we can. So, yes, there are days off. Yes, there's rest. Yes, there's vacation. Thank God. But you're not finished. God wants you to continue to take ground. If he's given you something, if he's called you to something, if he's promised you something, let's continue to take ground. Let's continue to love and represent him and use every opportunity to share with people that God loves them. Russ and Mary are even my age, in our early 60s, and they just planted a brand new church. It's like they're starting all over in Tasmania, Australia, and it's wonderful. We here at Placerville, we just started a new site in Cameron Park. We could have been so comfortable, and it's like, oh, we got such a nice community here. We got such a nice family, and we love each other, and we're growing and all that stuff. But no, God has called us to take more ground. And he's called us to go and have a presence in Cameron Park. And I believe that there will be more. And I think the elders believe that there will be more sites that we'll be planting. We're not finished yet. God has called us to take ground. But if you are now saying, oh, I'm weary, let me read you something. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what are we not finished doing? One is loving Jesus and worshiping him. We're not finished with that. We want to grow closer and closer in intimacy with him, loving him, honoring him, glorifying him. We're not done with prayer and the word. The truth of the word sets us free, and he wants communion with us. He wants us to come to him. Meeting together. We're not finished meeting together. And this series that we're on is called Ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. We are one local expression of God's body, of God's church. And we're being prepared as a bride to meet him someday. We need each other. And all the more, the Bible says, all the more as the day approaches when we go to see him, all the more we need to meet together. We're doing life together. We're not only in community and encouraging each other, building each other up, and helping each other, but we're in community with a purpose, on mission, together. It's like, let's go. Let's go and represent Jesus. And I love the testimonies of Mexico. I love that we're going out and telling and praying for people. We're not finished being a disciple, being a fully devoted follower of Christ, walking in steps of obedience, and being discipled but making disciples as well. We're not finished serving, being fully functioning parts of the body. We serve the body so that God gets the glory. We're not finished going out and telling people what Jesus has done, that Jesus loves them and wants relationship with them. We're not finished telling people, come and see what God is doing here at Westside. Come and be part of this. Planting seeds, living lives that encourage others to follow Jesus. So who do you align yourself up with? Do you align yourselves with the 10 spies that were full of fear and doubt and disobedience and say, oh, nobody wants to hear about Jesus? Or, oh, I'm so tired. Or, oh, the news is so horrible. And I just want to crawl in a hole and wait till Jesus comes back. Do we align ourselves with that kind of thinking, with fear? Or do we align ourselves with the men of faith, Joshua and Caleb, and who say, we can do it. We can do it. God has always been for us. God has always been with us. And if he's calling us to do something, then he's going to give us the grace and the strength and the resources and everything we need to accomplish that. We trust him. So there are steps of faith that God still has for you. Some here, your next step of faith might be to receive him as Lord and Savior. He is calling you. What a great day to be reconciled to your Creator God. As today, God created you, and we want to give our lives to him and say, God, I don't know it all. I'm tired of leading my own life, and I made mistakes, and I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I want to receive you as my Savior. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. I want you to lead my life. That might be you where you're at right now. Maybe you need to just take that step. Take that step. Some of you have been, the Holy Spirit has been drawing you for a long, long time. And he says, today's the day. Take that step and receive him and follow him. It might be to stop doing something that he's already told you to stop doing. Is that your step of faith? Okay, God, today's the day. I'm going to obey you. It might be to start doing something that God's already told you to start doing. And you've just put it off and said, no, maybe someday. Maybe when things are right. Maybe when I feel comfortable enough. But today is the day. What are the steps of faith that he's calling you to take? Philippians 1:6, once again, Paul says, for I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, mature it, complete it, will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Not one of you is finished yet. Even inputting into our children and our grandchildren, even ministering to our neighbors, even in the workplace, even in our schools, he's not finished with us yet. Let's stand as we close in a response time and one more song.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, we do take it to heart that you're not finished with us. And God, we purpose before you to be moldable and bendable and shaped by you for every good work and for your purposes. God, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us some of the things that Terry shared, that we're not finished with spending time with you in the word and in prayer and in fellowship and in meeting together and in serving and in proclaiming your good deeds. And God, the things that we need to start doing or maybe stop doing, or maybe if we haven't said yes to you, we say yes this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as we respond here in Jesus' name. Amen.